Don Sage and his wife make due on a bit less than $30,000 a year in Social Security payments, so he can ill afford to pay another $40 a month on his electric bills.
When the invoice comes in the mail to get paid, I have a target amount based on our fixed budget.
Utility rates and the energy market in general are pretty inscrutable to most energy consumers. The changes seem to come from nowhere and can be treated like some sort of natural disaster.
The price of power is on the rise.
Looks like it's going to be a more expensive winter for customers of two power
providers. Perhaps as much as 35% higher than last winter.
But in reality, these retail rate hikes have been a long time coming. To understand what's going on here, you first need to know that in the last dozen years, New England went from getting 15% of its energy from natural gas to almost half. There are a couple problems with that. For one, it's really hard to store natural gas. Tony Scaraggi is the vice president at Distragas, New England's only liquefied natural gas import terminal, just north of Boston. Distragas has two massive tanks, which, when full, contain enough gas to fuel all of New England for about one winter day.
The tanks themselves are a tank within a tank, right? They're like big thermos bottles.
Natural gas as a liquid takes up 600 times less space than as a gas, so that's how it's typically stored. But its chemical properties mean it has to be really cold before it becomes a liquid. In some places, space isn't a problem because natural gas can be stored in huge underground caverns. New England's geology doesn't have any of those, so we're stuck super cooling it and keeping it in big, expensive thermoses. Compare that to coal, which you can keep in a big pile. All of this hassle means that most natural gas power plants don't have storage tanks. Instead, they just tap into the region's pipelines. The problem with that? On the coldest days, there just isn't enough space in the pipelines to go around. So when the temperatures drop, demand rises, and electric plants bid up the prices. We're talking easily five times higher on certain cold days. Taft Shamler, chief operating officer of the energy supplier North American Power, told an energy conference this fall that traders are hedging against another winter as cold as last year.
In New England, this winter, based on what's been recently trading, is likely to have the highest natural gas prices on planet Earth.
There's no doubt that New England gas demand has outstripped pipeline supply, and the market is responding. Two small pipeline expansions, which together would increase regional capacity by about 10%, should come online by late 2016. And two much bigger competing projects have been proposed for 2018, which together would come close to doubling the pipeline capacity in New England. But wherever you have a proposal to build energy infrastructure, you have opponents.
Okay.
Marilyn Lerner, a retired schoolteacher, took me on a driving tour of the proposed route of the pipeline that Kinder Morgan wants to bury under Hollis, New Hampshire.
The pipeline is paralleling this. You see that entire bank of trees? Gone. Gone. All of it. Gone.
Talk of eminent domain and 100-foot-wide clear cuts have stirred emotions along the proposed route of the pipeline, which mostly cuts across northern Massachusetts. Opposition has been so fierce that both of Massachusetts' U.S. senators and a number of congressmen have come out against it, in part thanks to grassroots opposition from people like Lerner.
Okay, we need some gas. I get that. Why did the state and the region not form a plan about how to get the gas? Why does a private company run the show?
But the resistance is not just coming from folks who don't want a pipeline in their backyard. Power plant owners who prefer that the government stay out of the electric market are pushing back against a preliminary proposal signed by the six New England governors last year calling for a subsidy for new gas pipelines. The idea is that electric ratepayers would pay for pipelines to be built larger than they would otherwise. Environmental groups have joined the fray too. Peter Shattuck from Environment Northeast says the region risks building too much pipe.
If demand for gas remains low because of things like energy efficiency, distributed generation, renewable heating technologies like heat pumps and biomass, we may not need any infrastructure overall.
That's a view shared by natural gas market analyst Greg Lander. He points out there were only 42 days last winter when the region's pipelines were close to capacity. So if you build too much pipeline, most of the time you pay for it to sit empty.
Just like if you had 10 airplanes flying every hour to New York, nine of those airplanes would fly empty in the lowest demand periods.
These concerns are among the reasons that the subsidy proposal has stalled for now. So what's a region that's been rocked by spiking gas prices to do? Well, it depends on what you're promoting. Greg Crisp is with Spectra Energy, the competitor to the contentious Kinder Morgan project. Spectra is proposing upgrading their existing network with wider pipes, and they're offering new kinds of contracts aimed squarely at the power sector to help get the expansion built.
There are different services that would allow an electric power generator to call us with very short notice and ask to be able to run, and we would have the capability to do that.
Others say the region could get by with only a small increase in pipeline capacity if it was smarter about using what it has. Tony Scaraggi, the liquefied natural gas importer, argues that if this, in a cold year, is a 40-day problem, supplying that need with more expensive imported LNG is still cheaper than overbuilding a pipeline.
That's equivalent to like 2.5 to 3 LNG tankers coming in. You got to compare that to the cost of a $2 to $3 billion pipeline.
And then, of course, Peter Shattuck with Environment Northeast has the Enviro package to pitch. Increased energy efficiency, harnessing waste heat from power plants, building energy storage, and yes, renewables.
Wind with a mix of hydro coming down from northern Maine and the Canadian provinces could also offset the need for a lot of natural gas in the region.
Many of these folks say that some help is already on the way. A market reform by New England's grid operator coming in 2018 would fine power plants that don't have fuel when they need it and give the proceeds to plants that do. That would give them a financial incentive to reserve space on a yet-to-be-built pipeline or to buy some natural gas from overseas. But none of this will happen immediately. In the shortest of terms, Peter Brown, an energy attorney with the law firm Preddy Flaherty, put it this way at this fall's energy conference.
What I think we're hoping for is that the good Lord who protects drunks in the United States will also protect New England.
In other words, pray for a warm winter. For NHPR News, I'm Sam Evans Brown.